Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
After Peter wrote of prophets of the Old Testament that spoke and wrote as the Holy Spirit moved them, he then began to discuss false prophets and false teachers that had already begun to plague the church. These masters of deception used biblical terms and orthodox expressions to present a false gospel that destroys men's souls. Please open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his discussion of verses 1 through 3.
2 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That's God's word. After having spoken about holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Ghost, Peter now begins to warn the body of Christ about false prophets and false teachers. This is Peter's last epistle, and this is really the heart of Peter being poured out, that the saints back then, the saints, you and I today, as he's going to say in chapter 3, would be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the prophets and the commandments of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible very clearly teaches that the responsibility of church leaders is to feed the flock, and part of feeding is warning them of wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's because if there is no warning, the sheep are just being fattened for the kill. And that is one of the reasons why we are dedicated to teaching through the entire Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to make sure that you are being well fed and mindful of the whole counsel of God. In the Reformation Study Bible, it says, in this age of so-called tolerance, Christians are often afraid to exercise discernment and to speak out against heresy and heretics. But our silence is wrong, because all error corrupts, and errors against the foundations of the faith destroy souls forever. And so before we look at what Peter writes in verses 1 through 3, I believe it would serve us well to first of all look at some of the characteristics of the Old Testament false prophet, for many of the same characteristics are found in false prophets and false teachers today. One of the characteristics of a false prophet is that they are more popular than the true prophets. The true prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Haggai spoke the word of God. The false prophets were telling the people what they wanted to hear. When the true prophets of God, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel, were saying that there is no peace, the false prophets were saying, peace, peace. When God, through the true prophet Jeremiah, prophesied the servitude of the nation of Israel to Babylon, the false prophet Hananiah prophesied the swift end of the power of Babylon. And in doing so, Hananiah, the ear-tickling prophet, was making the people of God to trust in a lie. In the days of Jehoshaphat, one of the many false prophets, Zedekiah, put on horns of iron and said that Israel would push the Syrians out of the way as he pushed with those horns. Micah, the true prophet of God, foretold disaster if Jehoshaphat would go to war. And of course, the false prophet Zedekiah was popular. His message was accepted. But Micaiah was considered to be hard and narrow-minded. Well, if you read 1 Kings chapter 22, Jehoshaphat listened to the false prophets. He went forth to war with the Syrians, and he perished tragically. So a characteristic of a false prophet is that they'll tell you, or false teacher, what you want to hear. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, we read, "For the time will come when they will not endure or tolerate sound, healthy, true doctrine, but after their own lusts or longings or desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." A second characteristic of a false prophet or a false teacher is their constant appeal for money. We'll get to that later. Not asking you for money, but we'll get to that later. The minor prophet Micah said in chapter 3, verse 11, "The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us." In other words, the false prophets were saying, nothing bad can possibly happen to us. For money's sake, in the New Testament, and we're going to read this passage of Scripture a few times, in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 7, we read there in verse 15, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, these words, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And as we will see again later, the Greek word for ravening means that they are extortioners. And it speaks of individuals, religious individuals, who eat sheep by going after your wallet or your credit card. A third characteristic of a false prophet is that they prophesy that the Lord is going to return on a certain day. Ever heard that before? Every time someone has prophesied the day that the Lord has returned, and I said they're wrong, I've been right every time. But not only that, they will prophesy of some event that's going to happen on a certain day or at a certain time, and the thing they say never comes to pass. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, we read in verses 20 through 22, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die," or must die. "And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?" Verse 22, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, if it never happens, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously," literally out of pride, "you shall not be afraid of him." I want you to notice, beloved, the question in verse 21 that is asked, often asked, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? The answer given in verse 22 is the same today as it was back then. If the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And so the ultimate test is that God's true prophets will always be 100% accurate. A prophet that is sent by God, if he says such a thing is going to happen at such a time and in such a way, it always will be brought to pass. Now keep that in mind. I want to give you a time-sensitive example of a false prophecy that was given by a modern-day prophet. How many of you have ever heard the name Benny Hinn? I didn't ask you to laugh. I just asked you if you remembered his name. Well, on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 1989, quote, "The Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Oh, my. Some will try to kill him, and they will not succeed. But there will come a change in his physical health, and he will not stay in power, and Cuba will be visited of God." He said Fidel Castro would die in the 90s, the Spirit is telling him. It wasn't the Holy Spirit, because Fidel Castro died November 25th, 2016. In other words, you shouldn't have anything to do with him. One of the saddest statements in the Bible is that people seem to have a fallen attraction to these false prophets or teachers. Jeremiah 5:31 says, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" Peter says there were false prophets. The Greek word pseudoprophetes means spurious, religious impostors. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers, spurious, religious impostors among you, who privily or secretly will bring in damnable, that word damnable means destructive, false heresies, even denying the Lord or the Master that bought them. Now, you know this, I hope you know this, that false prophets and false teachers do not wear signs. I am a false prophet, or I am a false teacher. But why they are so effective, devilishly effective, is that a lot of what they say is true. New Testament believers, you and I are told to expect and watch out for false prophets and false teachers. In Matthew 7:15, quoting again, "Beware of false prophets," our precious Lord Jesus Christ said, "which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." In another passage quoted by the Apostle Paul when he was addressing a group of elders in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, he says, "I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse, crooked, misleading things, to draw away disciples after them." Notice false teachers and false prophets are called ravening and grievous wolves. They will twist, misuse, or give a private or false interpretation of Scripture that is independent of the interpretation as it is revealed in the totality of Scripture. You can take Scripture out of context and make it say whatever you want it to say. That's why you should always compare Scripture with Scripture. There will be false teachers, we are told, who will be in existence and alongside the true church until the final harvest. Jesus taught us about the wheat and the tares growing up together until the harvest. So we see that one of the characteristics of a false teacher is that they will privately or covertly teach damnable, destructive, false, and divisive heresies. Now, the word heresy originally simply meant to make a choice, but then it came to mean a sect or a party. A couple of the damnable heresies would be the diminishing of the deity of Jesus Christ, the diminishing of the deity of the Holy Ghost, the diminishing of the doctrine of the Trinity or the Godhead, as is done by all of the major Christian cults, such as the Latter-day Saints and the Watchtower Society. Not teaching that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh is an immediate indication of a false teacher. 1 John 2:18 through 29 and 1 John 4:1 through 6 declares that. They set Jesus aside. They reduce him to being a model or an example or an avatar. Call it what you may. Anything but looking to him as the Son of God, the great I am, the Almighty, Alpha and Omega, who came to take away our sins. False teachers and false prophets will use biblical terminology, but they will give you an unbiblical interpretation in order to cause you to believe their damnable heresy. We know from the Bible that Satan misquoted the Bible up on the pinnacle of the temple with Jesus. Let me give you an example of another heretical teaching. How many of you ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? Don't laugh. It's not a laughing matter. Does the Bible teach that Jesus is the firstborn among the dead? Yes. Does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ is a twice-born man or born again like you and I? No. Well, listen to how he twists these two biblical truths into a full-blown heresy in an effort to try to prove that any born-again Christian can do everything that Jesus did if he had enough knowledge of the Word of God. In his teaching on identification, he said this, quote, "The Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, 'Son, realize this. Now follow me in this and don't let your tradition trip you up.' He said, 'Think this way. A twice-born man whipped Satan in his own domain.' And I threw my Bible down like that. I said, 'What?' He said, quote, this is God, 'A born-again man defeated Satan. The firstborn of many brethren defeated him.' He said, 'You are the very image of God, the very copy of that one.' I said, 'Goodness gracious sakes alive.' And I began to see what had gone on there in hell. And I says, 'Well, now, you don't mean, you couldn't dare mean that I could have done the same thing.' He said, 'Oh, yeah. If you had the knowledge of the Word of God that he did, you could have done the same thing because you are a reborn man too.'" That is a flat-out heresy. The creature will never be the creator, and the creator will never be a creature. Jesus is the creator. He's not a twice-born man. He was a man, but he was fully God. Satan is a created being. To teach that the risen Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan in hell as a reborn or born-again man is a heresy. To teach that every and any reborn individual can do everything and anything that Jesus did if he or she had enough Bible knowledge of who they are in Christ is a flat-out heresy. Romans 16, 17, Paul writes, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, factions, dissension, discord, and offenses contrary or different from the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good or smooth, eloquent words and fair speeches, they deceive." The word deceive means they seduce, they beguile, they bait the hearts of the simple or the naive. And so false teachers tend to be very, very charismatic. They tend to be very, very persuasive. And when they speak in such a way that they deceive the hearts of people who are naive. They will use their private interpretation of Scripture to prove their heretical doctrines and views that you would never arrive at if you simply read the Word of God. Never. That's why it is so important for a cult or any kind of an ism to get their literature in your hands, because 100% of the time, you would never come to those heretical, damnable conclusions if you simply read the Bible. Again, that passage in Acts 20, verse 29, "I know this, that after my departure, grievous," or literally oppressive, "wolves will enter in among you, not sparing or doing damage to the flock. Also of your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse, misleading, corrupt things to draw away or to lure disciples after them." Now they get people who are naive, and that's not to put them down, who are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and then they put that tag in the name of Jesus. And they think, well, he must be a true prophet or a teacher. Do you know who the mission field is for every false teacher, every false prophet? The body of Christ. They prey on Christians. Another one of the damnable heresies of a false prophet or a false teacher concerns the truth of the gospel that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Remember this. beloved, any gospel that adds to or takes away from the finished work of Jesus Christ is what the Holy Spirit calls a damnable heresy. Let me give you one example. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church there in Galatia, and he says in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another. Listen, how many times he says another gospel, something different, not the same, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel in Palmyra, New York, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. You know what that means? Let him go to hell if they don't repent. This is serious stuff. This is nothing to laugh about or joke about. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. You know, in Acts chapter 15, there was a group of Jews who insisted that the Gentiles must not only believe in Christ, but become a Jew in order to be saved. That was another gospel. Praise God for the outcome of that gospel, of that meeting, because the true gospel was proclaimed. Modern day Judaizers insist that you must keep sacraments or some other outward rite as something that is necessary for salvation. Salvation from Genesis to Revelation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's Him. Christ is the gospel. Jesus declared on the cross, He gave up the ghost and He said, it is finished. Debt is paid. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And those who repent of their sin and trust in Him, the Bible says that we are complete in Him. Oh, here on earth, we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's because He's working in us, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. But notice these false teachers are denying the Lord that bought them. The word bought there is the Greek word agorazo. I'm saying it like an Italian. It probably sounds nothing like that in Greek. But it means this. It means to purchase, to buy, or to redeem. In what sense were these false teachers bought by the Lord? Well, the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have to do some rightly dividing of the word of truth. While it is true that Jesus Christ died for the church, Ephesians 5:22, it is equally true that He died for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Christ is the merchant who purchased the whole field, that is the world, that He might acquire the treasure in it. Matthew 13:44, the church is His treasure. Now, when it comes to application of the Lord's atonement, it is limited to those who repent and believe. And the Bible calls them the elect. But when it comes to efficacy, His death is sufficient for the whole world. And thus, the gospel is to come unto me. It is to be proclaimed to every person here today, every person on the planet. Hebrews 2:9 tells us that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, even those who reject Him and deny Him, which makes their condemnation even greater. The doctrine of Jesus Christ buying men for Himself is one of the foundational doctrines of the whole Bible. He came to give His life a ransom for many. The Bible declares you and I who have trusted in Christ, we've been bought with a price. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you.
Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.